All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today. Pray that you have your Bibles with you and you've turned to the book of 1 Peter. We will be finishing up the last part of chapter 1 today. And if I am able to get that far, then we'll start chapter 2 tonight. Let's pray together before we begin. Father, I come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you that you are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. You are unchanging. I come before you, Father, because you are our Father in heaven, and because you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. I lift up to you this morning Shirley Jennings. And Lord, I pray that you would bathe her in your grace and love and hold her close to you, put her in your intensive care. Lord, bless Brother Gary as he cares for his wife. Give him, Lord, your grace and your patience and your mercies that are new every day. Lord, I pray that you will guide them through this together. Give them good days together. Bless this family. Watch over all our sick and hurting, especially those that have cancer. I lift them up to you and pray for their highest good and for your glory. I pray for our shut-ins that aren't able to be here today, that you might bless and watch over and help them. I pray for those, Lord, that have had surgery trying to recover. For those, Lord, that need surgery, I lift them up to you. And then I pray for those, Lord, that have gone astray, that just aren't in church where they know they need to be, that, Lord, you might bring them back by your grace and your love. Father, I lift up to you those that are watching online, that, Lord, you might bless and watch over them. I pray if there's someone watching that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today might be the day of their salvation. I pray for our Bible study group here in the auditorium. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. I pray that we will not only hear, but we will hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Lord, give us grace and mercy for every day that we might live up to the calling that you've given us in Christ. Guide us and lead us. Give us the strength, the wisdom, and the understanding that we might walk and live our life well, that Christ might be glorified. Bless the word as we study it together this morning, and may you be glorified in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we learn. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. I wrote down a question that I have for you this morning before we even get into the scripture this morning. What is the greatest characteristic or attribute you received at salvation? What is the greatest characteristic or attribute you received at salvation or regeneration? What would you say it is? The most important thing you received. God's righteousness. Very important. Very important. But I'm talking about a attribute or characteristic that can be seen in your life that is more important than anything else. A changed heart. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely right. We're going to 1 Corinthians. There's a tremendous scripture there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It shows you the magnitude of what you received in Christ. You received in Christ the ability to love And for that love to be so fervent that others could see it. That ability you never had before. You say, well, I love people before. I know you love people before. But this is a love that comes from God, comes from Christ, through Christ, by the Spirit, that is beyond anything you could have achieved on your own. And it says here in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians in the verse, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and listen to this, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see with a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking. Love does not delight in evil. This is the kind of love, that you can only receive through being born again, being regenerated by the power of God, that you actually, God places in your life this kind of love that cannot be attained on your own. It can only come through God in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is the greatest characteristic and attribute that you have as a witness to the power of God to change your life and to change my life. That's what I wanted you to see as we get into this part of 1 Peter this morning. And we are in 1 Peter verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have. Now how is it that you have? Because you have obeyed the truth. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about regeneration. Now regeneration is an event that happened at a singular time in your life that never has to happen again. And so I can look back on my life and I can look back on the day I was saved, whatever terminology you want to use. I was saved the day that I was born again in a miraculous act of grace. God regenerated my heart and changed my life and gave me certain gifts that I could not have on my own. And one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, that God gave me at that point in time in my life of regeneration was a love that comes from God that can only be attained by the new birth that is given by God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. And so this is what we're talking about this morning. This is what we're talking about. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that's regeneration, so that you have, what is it that you now have because your heart has been changed and regenerated? You have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. From the heart. Now I'm going to stop right there with that verse this morning, and we're going to look at some scriptures that show us exactly what we have here. First of all, in the book of John, the 13th chapter, the book of John chapter 13 and verse 34. I'm going to start in verse 33 of the 13th chapter of John. My children, now that you have been regenerated, born again, now you are a child of God. My children, I will be with you only a little longer, he's telling them. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Jesus is preparing them for his death and resurrection. Where I'm going, you can't come right now, okay? A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Why? By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A new command I have given you, he said. As I have loved you, you love one another. And by this, you loving one another, all men will know that you have been loved by me, that you are a child of God. Now, when I was in college in chemistry, we had what was known as a litmus test. And we would take a piece of paper that was litmus paper, and we would put that paper in a solution. And when we put it in that solution, it would change color to tell us if that solution was acidic or if it was basic, one or the other. It was called a litmus test. Well, the litmus test for a Christian is how you love one another. It is a love that you have received from Christ by the Holy Spirit through the act of regeneration that you have within you now that you could not have before, that you now have, that is a supernatural love. You now have a supernatural love within you that gives you the ability to truly, sincerely, and fervently love one another. I cannot tell you how important that is. I cannot tell you how important that is. That people see your love for one another. And believe me, they will see it if it's there. It is something that is recognizable. It is something that is the greatest witnessing tool that you have. If someone comes in those doors today and they don't know Christ, maybe they've never been here to this church before, but the overwhelming, most powerful thing that they ought to see is that this family truly loves and cares for one another. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You don't have the power of God. You do not have the most essential thing in life that comes through regeneration. And that is the very supernatural love that God has given you. I can meet somebody that I've never met before, but if they are a brother or sister in Christ, and I meet them for the first time, and we begin to converse, and my spirit witnesses with their spirit, and their spirit witnesses with my spirit, I can truly look them in the eye and say, I love you, brother, or I love you, sister, because it is a connection that is made between two believers that have both been regenerated by the power of God, that is a witness not only to the world, but in your own heart, that you have truly been born again by the power of God. Here Jesus says, the world will believe in who he is, and that you have been born again by the love that you have for one another. Because Jesus said it simply, as I have loved you, you love one another. Now, Jesus loved us to the point he laid down his life. This is the kind of love that should be self-evident in our life as a born-again believer and a child of God, that we can truly look each other in the eye and mean it from the bottom of the heart and say, I love you, Jerry. I love you, Sharon. And they know it's true. And they know it's true. It is true not only evident by the words that I say, but it is evident by the way that I love them. And this is what he's talking about here in 1 Peter when we look at these scriptures. And I want to give you some other scriptures that go with this as well. In the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, and the 21st verse, chapter 17, verse 21, where Jesus is praying. And he says, I'm going to begin in verse 20 of the 17th chapter. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Who's that? That is you and I. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, the Father and the Son. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So the greatest attribute that I have in my life as to the saving power of God is the way I love Bill. And that Bill knows that I love him. That is the greatest attribute that I have in my life as to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of God through regeneration, that we love one another. I know when Nate came here, he made this statement. And I really like what he said. He said, I can see that the people in this church love one another well. Love one another well. You must understand that is of the utmost importance. Utmost importance. If you want to be a church where the Holy Spirit of God can work, where the power of God can absolutely fall on this place, it will be because you truly love one another as Christ has loved you. And that isn't just in word. That is in our action. That is in our action as well. And we'll be looking at that as well, just as we read over here. 1 Corinthians 10:27. What am I doing? I'm just trying to show you how important this truly is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 27. And you may have never got this out of this passage of Scripture before, but I want to show it to you now, okay? If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions. Now, this is a setting. This is a setting. In those days, there was a lot of idolatrous worship, okay? Well, when they had an idolatrous worship service, there was two things that was there. Sexual orgies and food. They brought great food, and they gave that food to the idols. Well, a wooden idol can't eat, let me tell you that right now. A stone idol can't eat, let me tell you that right now. But that was one of their forms of their so-called worship. Well, the food that was left there, some of those in the service there ate of the food, but there was much food left over. Well, what happened to it? Well, they would take the food to the marketplace and sell it. So, if you went to the marketplace and you weren't a Christian and you were a pagan, it wouldn't bother you if you bought food that had been offered to idols. Okay? So now here you are, a Christian now, and you've been invited to dinner. You've been invited to dinner, and it's at a pagan's house. Okay? Now this is what it's talking about here. Notice what it says. If some unbeliever, okay, pagan, invites you to a meal, and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. Okay? Don't even ask if it was a meal, food offered to idols. You go ahead and eat it. You go ahead and eat it. Well, why is that? Well, because this is an unbeliever. And you're there as a testimony to the saving grace of God. So if it's an unbeliever, you go ahead and eat whatever. Don't raise a question about it. Okay? Now let's notice what it says. But, verse 28, but if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then you do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for the conscience sake, the other man's conscience. I mean not yours, for why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? Now, what's he saying here? This kind of throws us off, right? Well, what he's saying, you're not only there, but there's another believer there with you. There's another believer there with you. And you're at an unbeliever's house, and this man that is there with you is a believer. And he knows that this food has been offered, this meal, this food has been offered to idols. So he says to you, this food has been offered to idols. Then you don't eat it because you do not want to harm the faith or the understanding of the brother that is with you. You do not want to hurt his conscience. So what is this all about? This may not seem like it, but it's all about loving well. Love for the unbeliver there is no one else, a believer, there with you, you do not ask. You do not ask, was this meat, was this food offered to idols? You don't ask. Why? Because of the love of Christ in you, you do not wish to hurt the feelings or cause a problem for the unbeliever. But if you have another Christian with you that knows this food was offered to idols and says to you as a believer also, this food was offered to idols, you refuse to eat it because you don't want to harm the testimony and the faith and the belief of the other believer that is with you because you love him. So here we have a setting in an unbeliever in a pagan's house, and he's telling them how to handle this, and it's really all about testimony and it's all about love. It's all about testimony and it's all about love. So when we see this, it is permeated throughout the scriptures. It is permeated throughout the scriptures that we want to love well. Loving well means that which we do shows that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. And when we were born again, we have received that love that only God can give us. In 1 John chapter 3, and verse 10 through 11. Verse 10, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are. This is how we know that the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Okay? This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We should love one. This is a message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. If anyone does not love his brother or sister in Christ, then that is evidence that they have never been born from above. Because when one is truly born from above, there is a regeneration in the heart that takes place. And a love is conceived that only God can give. That only God can give. Are you with me? And this is the greatest attribute and greatest characteristic that we have as a believer. Now, we may not always agree on everything. We may not always agree on it. Me and Don Parr may not always agree on everything. We may not ever see things exactly the same way. But I love him anyway, even if he is wrong. He got that. I love him anyway, and he loves me. This is so important in the life of a Christian. This is so, because we will always have differences of some kind. Kevin may say, this is how we ought to build this ramp. And I may look at it and say, no, I think this is the way we should build this ramp. Well, I'm probably wrong. He's probably right. I'll tell you that right now. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter which one of us is right or wrong. What matters is that we love one another regardless. This is the overshadowing thing that should be evident in our life as a believer. This kind of love. And if it isn't there, you should ask yourself the question, what's wrong? What's wrong? This is, as I got in on the tail end of the service, early service, which I usually do get here a little early before I start the class, I heard Brother Nate preaching this morning about Christian maturity, about growing in Christ. This is what we're talking about here. Christian maturity, growing in Christ. And I think the more you grow, the more this love becomes exhibited in your life. And I cannot believe that bell has already rung. Good night. Not even close, brother. So this is my first question then as we look at this. When were you enabled to love one another supernaturally? When were you enabled to love one another supernaturally? You know the answer. When you were born again. I guess one thing I want us to see is what a miracle, supernatural miracle, happens at that point in time when God comes down and opens your heart and takes out a heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. It's called regeneration, and you became spiritually alive, and suddenly there is a love in your heart and there is a love in your life that wasn't there before. As I've given my testimony over the years, this was the first great evidence that I had truly been born again. Because I was so lacking in love before that when I was saved, it was a total turnaround. And it is not something that's conjured up. It is something that naturally happens within you when you are regenerated, when you are born again, when you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit and the power of God in your life. It is as natural for me to love Kevin as to take my next breath. And if I did not love him that way, then something's wrong in here. And so this is something we must understand. This is the greatest attribute and characteristic we have. This supernatural love that comes from being born again, that comes from God. And I have other scriptures I'm not going to have you turn to, but they are talking about the same thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, you not only receive it at that time, but as you grow in sanctification, God is teaching you to love one another. Trad made some great statements a lot of times, and one of them was, it's hard to love a porcupine because you're going to get stuck. Okay? Some people are easier to love than others. I may be one of them porcupines. I don't know. But some people are easier to love than others. But even if you're going to get stuck, you will love them. You will love them. And so this is the kind of love, a genuine love, that we are talking about. The next question is, who are we to love? Who are we to love? We are to love, according to the scriptures we just read, we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the family of God, the family of God that have been born again, adopted into His family, that make up the kingdom of God. As we visited with Shirley Jennings Thursday, I believe it was Thursday, or I can't remember which day it was, to tell you the truth. My days are all mixed up. But as we visited with Shirley and her family, we were talking about how good it was that she was loved well by her family. And I made this statement to her, your family doesn't stop here. Your family is Waldo Baptist Church. Your family is the kingdom of God. And I told her, and we want to love you well. We want to love you well. What a precious lady. What an absolutely precious lady. What a privilege it is to have had her for a sister in Christ and as a friend for all these years that I have known her as a part of Waldo Baptist Church. What a privilege. And I'm going to spend eternity with her. And that is the best yet to come. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it with all my heart. With all my heart. So we'll continue right here. And I'll try to get to chapter 2 tonight. I'm not doing very good, Kev. Let's pray together. Father, so great is the knowledge of the love of God that you have given in our hearts, that so you have loved us, we can love others well. That our testimony might always be that as Jesus loved us, we have loved each other well. Because I believe on that great day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards, it will not depend on how big a house we lived in or how much money we had or any of those things. Not even whether we tithed or all these things, which are important. But it will be how we loved one another as Christ has loved us. Teach us, guide us, and give us godly wisdom that we may love each other well, that you might be glorified and your kingdom might be extended. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.